Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 10 of Season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com, When Harry Met Sally, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week number two of this season is Nick Rehak of French Toast Sunday. Welcome back to the show, Nick.
Thank you so much once again for having me, Rob.
It's always a pleasure, and you know it is none of your business why we broke up.
I mean, you're not wrong. Plain and simple, you're not wrong.
Exactly. So, minute 10 begins with Sally still trying to explain how she wants it, and ends with her giving an explanation as to what happened between her and Sheldon. So yesterday we ended things with there was a heated conversation between Harry and Sally, and then the waitress came over and interrupted them, and they began to do their ordering, and we got to find out what type of person Sally is. How does she order food in a very strange way? And so the minute was cut off yesterday where she said, if not, then no something. Right. And then it continues with basically the line is, if not, then no ice cream, just whipped cream, but only if it's real. If it's out of a can, then nothing. Not even the pie. Nope, just a pie, but then not heated. Uh-huh. So, I mean, This is just a great way to end the conversation with between her and the waitress.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't really explain herself at all. You know, when she were to say, then nothing, you know, she in her mind, she knows what she's talking about, and she knows what she means.
Yeah. And for her to just go, uh-huh, and walk away. And Sally acts like it's a totally normal thing to order exactly how she – not saying it's not normal, but – socially acceptable in a restaurant setting, you know what I mean? You don't – that's – no. You're just setting yourself up for disappointment when you try to order to that extent.
Yeah. And I wonder if what the waitress is basically saying to herself when she says, uh-huh, meaning that I don't care if I get it right or wrong. You know,
yeah.
Whatever happens, you know.
Pretty much. Oh, yeah, it's real. No, this totally didn't come from a can.
Exactly. So what do you know about whipped cream?
I know that it's used as a topping. It's used as the kind of a middle piece if you're doing like a trifle bowl type cake. I'm familiar with the brand Cool Whip, and I'm sure it's if you take milk and you whip it long enough, it turns into a thick whipped cream kind of thing. But outside of that, I got none.
Okay, you have any other idea of what it's called? It has another name.
They wouldn't call it like a mousse, would they? Like something.
No,
mousse?
No. It's called a chantilly cream, or creme chantilly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, well, why the chantilly part?
You know what? I don't even know.
Okay.
I didn't look that up. Actually, no. Sorry. I do have that. We'll get there. Well, let's talk about some other things first, then I'll get there. I do have an explanation as to what it is and what the difference is, because it really isn't the same thing as whipped cream. So we'll get there in a second. Most types of whipped cream have high butterfat content, somewhere between 30 and 36%, which is what helps create the air bubbles that are needed to make it.
Okay.
If you have lower fat cream or milk, it doesn't whip well, and you need it to be a higher content of fat in order for it to actually be a stable type of foam. Okay. You can whip it by using a whisk, an electric mixer or food processor. Usually it's best if the ingredients are cold. Usually it will stay solid for about 1 or 2 hours, depending on what exactly you have it. Sometimes people would add, they add different things on it into it to make it last a little bit longer. But then you also have the instant ones, which we're probably more familiar with, where when you're at a party and you just take it and you just squirt it into your mouth, like the Cheese Whiz type of stuff they have. But whipped cream is much better, So it's in an aerosol can that basically the a gas that dissolves it all under pressure. And when the pressure is released, so the gas leaves a solution which produces bubbles. And usually you have nitrous oxide or carbon dioxide that will give it a different type of taste. Some people call whipped cream from cans, they call them squishy cream in Scotland, squirty cream, spray cream, or aerosol cream.
Aerosol cream sounds weird because that sounds more
I
like
think
an
all of
air
them.
kind of thing,
I
or
think all of them sound weird. Just call it whipped cream.
that's that too.
There are places where it's actually illegal to sell aerosol cans of whipped cream.
What?
Yes, because of dangers to the environment.
Okay. All right, I can see that.
There are different type of flavors that people use for whipped cream. You can have sugar, vanilla, coffee, chocolate, orange, and many others, that are used. So here, then it talks about the creme chantilly. Okay, now I've heard of chantilly lace. I wonder if it's the same thing.
That was my whole, yeah, Chantilly lace. Had a pretty face, ponytail hanging down,
That's
so on and
right.
so forth.
From True Romance. That's where I know that from. I'm sure you know it from the original. I couldn't even tell you who sang it, but
The Big Bopper.
there you go. Okay, I've heard of the Big Bopper. That I have. He was part of the day the music died.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yes. So apparently, cream Chantilly cream is more sweetened than whipped cream.
Okay.
Okay, many people treat them as synonyms, but either they're both being sweetened or neither are being sweetened, or you can optionally sweeten them. But it's not clear, it's not a clear thing that some people, how you distinguish between the two. The creme chantilly was created in the mid 17th century by someone named Francois Vatel at the Chateau de Chantilly, which
Oh,
is
right, that makes
why it
sense.
was called that. And only a century later did it start becoming connected to whipped cream. There was a Baron de Oberkirch who was at a luncheon at in Chantilly, and he praised the cream that they said it, and they said it that it was similar to it was the Chantilly cream.
Okay.
Okay, in 1806, there was a cookbook that mentioned that doesn't mention either whipped nor Chantilly cream. But in the 1820 edition, they're both mentioned. So somewhere between 1806 and 1820, it actually became more common to use the Chantilly name.
Wonder if it just sounded fancier, and they
Well, it
just
does
kind of
sound
stuck
faster.
with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And then you have whipped topping, which is basically the same thing, but it's without any dairy ingredients.
Okay.
That's actually what we use in our house because we have two sons that are allergic to dairy, so we don't have any dairy in the
Oh,
house.
all right.
So we use that, and the non-dairy versions have an extended shelf life because obviously you don't have to worry about problems of the milk going sour or things like that.
Makes sense. Makes
Yeah,
sense.
and sometimes it's frozen in plastic tubs, Cool Whip, as you mentioned, or using the aerosol containers, as we talked about, right? Whipped cream is a popular topping for fruit, desserts, pies, ice cream, especially sundaes, cupcakes, cakes, milkshakes, waffles, hot chocolate cheesecakes, Jell-O, and puddings. Sometimes people will put it on on top of coffee, where in the Viennese coffee house tradition, it is known as Melange mit Schlagober. No idea.
Sure.
Exactly.
Sounds fancy.
Exactly. And it's used often in layer cakes and things like that. Sometimes people use pastry bags in order to put it inside of various dishes, you know, where you can like squirt it in the middle and stuff like that. And stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we got on whipped cream, which Sally wants to have on the side. But if it's out of the can, she doesn't want it. So
At all.
she's which is ironic because, you know, she's anti-aerosol when it comes to whipped cream, but when it comes to hairspray, you know, you can use as much as you need. There
Fire it right in there.
you go. Who knows? And then they get back to their conversation from yesterday that was broken up by the waitress. Harry is just staring at Sally, and it's very interesting the way that he looks at her, you know, through the whole thing. She goes, what? Nothing, nothing. And then Harry changes the conversation and goes, how come he broke up with Shell? I think he's more in shock about the way that she orders things. I think that's what it comes down to. I think he's, you know, he's never met a person who will do something like this.
Yeah.
We'll
With
explain
such
it this way.
confidence.
Yes. Yes, she definitely has a lot of confidence. There's no question about that. The way that she's, you think he's looking at her that that he thinks she's crazy?
I think it's a combination of crazy and what have I gotten myself into, and also utter fascination. Like, is this really happening in front of me right now?
It's as if Sally knows what she wants, but she just doesn't know how to express it properly. I
Okay.
think that that's what it comes down to. Because the, you know, the waitress and Harry have no idea what she's talking about. She thinks everyone's on her level, but they're not.
Right.
You know, I think that's what it comes down to. And then, you know, Harry changes the subject and goes, how come you broke up with Sheldon? And she goes, well, how do you know we broke up? And so his response is because if you didn't break up, you wouldn't be here with me. You'd be off with Sheldon, the Wonder Song. And I mean, we'll continue with the conversation and we'll come back to this in a second. And then Sally goes, first of all, I am not with you. And second of all, it's none of your business why we broke up. You're right. You're right. I don't want to know. And once again, she takes the bait. And he goes, well, she says, well, if you must know, it was because he was very jealous. And I had these days of the week underpants. And then Harry just looks at her and goes, I'm sorry. I need the judge's ruling on this. Days of the week underpants? Yes. They had the days of the week on them. And I thought they were sort of funny. And then one day Sheldon says to me, you never wear Sunday. It's all suspicious. So let's go back a little bit. First of all, you know, the fact that Harry says to Sally, you know, automatically he knows that she broke up with Sheldon. You know, why doesn't she say back to him, well, didn't you break up with Amanda? Like, where's Amanda in this scenario?
I guess Amanda's still back in Chicago.
No, obviously she's back in Chicago, but you know,
Like, why isn't
I'm
Amanda
t
going with them? Why is Amanda? Yeah.
no, but you know, he and Amanda apparently are trying to have a long distance relationship, you know, but Harry doesn't think that Sally and Sheldon would have that type of relationship. You know, like, where's that coming from? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I didn't even think about it that way.
You know, he's automatically assuming that she and Sheldon broke up. Okay, but he and Amanda are theoretically still back to still together. You know, which is why it doesn't make sense for him to say something like that. So,
I
I
never
don't
thought
know.
of it that way. That's a really
Yeah.
good way of looking at it.
I mean, again, it doesn't, it's typical of Harry. That's what it comes down to. You know, Harry makes assumptions.
Very
He
much so.
was sort of correct here, but he still makes assumptions. Calls Sheldon the Wonder Schlong. Have you ever heard that term before?
Wonderschlong?
Yeah.
I've heard, like, short answer, yes. and it always makes me giggle. Anytime someone says the word schlong, it makes me giggle because it's right. It's just funny.
Right. Now, apparently, I looked this up, and a schlong is not just a general term for a penis, but it is a penis that has substantial length and girth. When you use the term schlong, you're talking about someone who must be quite large, according to the definition. You know, I don't know. I've never used the term. It's not really, you know, it doesn't come up in everyday conversations with people.
Yeah, it's definitely a one-off that it gets pulled out in, literally.
Yes, it's something you discuss when you're talking about Harry Metalli, and that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, I've heard the term, but I can't tell you if this was the first time I heard the term or if I'd heard it elsewhere, you know, beforehand.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I've heard it in other movies or something. Maybe I heard it in Clerks or something. I've definitely heard it before.
Right.
And I feel like I've at least heard it or said it outside of the context of this conversation at least two or three times this year.
And that was before you saw the movie.
Yeah, that was definitely before I saw the movie. And there's just something funny about that. Like, I don't know. That's just something funny about that word, schlong.
Right.
I don't know. It's funny.
It sounds like it's Yiddish or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
No idea.
Okay.
I don't know where the, you know, what the etymology of the word is. I didn't look that up. Yeah. Sorry. So, I mean, what Sally tries to do with this conversation at this point is she tries to still control the situation despite the fact that, you know, that Harry is egging her on, but she's not very successful in doing so at all. Mm-hmm. Because she still gives him all the information that he wants. You know, and then when she's talking about the days of the week underwear, what's interesting is I did a search, and it could be just because of this movie, you can buy days of the week underwear now, but they have all seven. You know, it's not just six. Maybe in the 70s, Nora Ephron only had underwear, you know, that had six of the days of the week as opposed to seven. But you can now buy them for about $200 online. You know, if someone's interested in getting someone a gift, you know. Well, they must be
$25 a day.
They must be like very expensive. You know,
better be comfy.
I don't know. I won't try them. if you want to, you can.
Yeah, no, I'm cool. I can just take what I got now and put a marker and then just write the day right on there and we're all set.
There you go. Exactly. No, the ones that I found are Days of the Week lingerie or something like that.
It's got to be something fancy.
There you go. It's from Bloomingdale's.
Okay. Yeah, that tracks.
Okay. The ones from Bloomingdale's cost $200. Okay. Yeah. So if you're looking to get your significant other a gift, you know, you can go to the Bloomingdale's website and find Days of the Week underwear. And that's all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
The only thing is I want to know what happened to Sunday, but we're not going to find out until next week.
You're going to have to come back on and listen on Monday because I'll be with a different guest, you know, and find out what happened to Monday. What happened to Sunday? Where is Sunday? And he just didn't believe me.
Nope.
You know, and we'll probably explain, you know, why Sunday was missing, but we'll have to wait and see. So the script has a few things. It says, you know, as the waitress leaves, Harry stares in disbelief at Sally. Mm-hmm. And then actually the rest of the whole conversation just goes exactly, you know, as they talked about. You know, that is actually the only discrepancy here at all.
That's pretty cool. I feel like that's kind of a rarity in the minute-to-minute is to have such a lack of adjustment or tweak to the script.
Right. Well, again, part of the whole thing with the way that scripts evolve is that, you know, sometimes they'll change them, you know, after they rehearse a scene or something like that, and then – you know, then that goes in, that becomes, you know, official canon type of thing.
Oh, okay.
It could be. I don't know. I mean, the version of the script I have is from 1988. So, you know, it is one of the final versions of the script. So, at this point, they knew that this is what they were going to talk about, I guess. I don't
Okay.
All right. So every Friday, we have a segment called Weekend Romance, where my guests will give their top five romantic comedy films. So, Nick, what have you got for us? Start with number five and work your way up.
All right, number five is Midnight in Paris. I always just thought the idea of, kind of time traveling and meeting all the old authors and stuff was a pretty neat idea. Number four, actually, it's this one. It's when Harry Met Sally. Even though I've only watched it a handful of times, it's left such an impression on me, and I absolutely look forward to revisiting this film frequently, absolutely frequently.
Excellent.
Number three is You've Got Mail. Number two is a classic, Annie Hall. And then number one, bit of a curveball, and I don't know if a lot of people know about this movie or not, and if they don't, they should. It's called Return to Me.
I've heard of it. I'm trying to remember what it is.
Minnie Driver, David Duchovny. David Duchovny is married and his wife dies in a car accident, and he meets this woman played by Minnie Driver, and she is the recipient of his wife's heart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so it goes.
Yeah, no,
So it's
I've never seen it. So you see, you've now given me something to watch before this, before these shows even air.
there you go.
By the time these shows air, the odds are I will have already seen it.
And I'm very much looking forward to, as the weeks go, if any of your other guests have seen Return to Me or not, because I feel like it's definitely like an underdog in the rom-com world. Like it's really great, but not a lot of people talk about it. That and what is it, Keeping the Faith? That's another solid one that not a lot of
Oh, I
people
love Keeping the
talk
Faith. I
about.
think that's a
That,
fun
see,
one.
there you go, huh?
That's a fun one, yeah. Yeah, Ben Stiller and
Edward
oh,
Norton.
Edward Norton, there. Yeah, I enjoy that one. All right, excellent. So Nick, you went out for one last time this week and this season. Tell people how they can find Nick Rehak.
Well, when they're finished going through When Harry Met Sally minute by minute, they can take a break and come find me over on Twitter at The Rehack, TheReHak. They can also find me on random episodes and throughout the catalog of The Lambcast, The Exploding Helicopter Podcast, Movie, Films, and Flicks, The Deep Blue Sea Podcast, and the Con Air Podcast as well. Oh, and French Toast Sunday. Keep an ear and eye out for some of those new episodes dropping whenever they drop.
All right. And you don't want people to probably wait until they finish listening to When Harry Met Sally to go to you because, that's like May. So, people
Nah,
should
that's
go
fine.
now.
Nah, take their time. Then they bulk up on everything else. Nah, this is where it's at.
No, I want them to, it's possible to listen to more than one show at the same time. I'm fine
some
with that. I don't
some people
think
have
that.
better attention spans than I then.
Maybe that is possible. We just have to have better music in the background for you,
There
and
you go.
then you're good.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, thank you very much for joining me, and thank you for agreeing to go in sort of blind, of a movie that you didn't know whether you'd like or not. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm glad that we had what to talk about, even if it wasn't in person. It still
Yeah,
worked.
absolutely, man. I love coming on this show. I love the research that you do. I love the over, I can't think of the word. You put so much thought and care into this. It's not just the
Overanalysis?
concept of,
Overanalysis?
maybe that might be it, but it's not just a, hey, we're going to talk a bit about minute by minute. Like you put thought and care into this. You do script comparisons. You research certain aspects of it. You really go above and beyond compared to other people that, go through this type of concept, and it's greatly, greatly appreciated, and it's such a breath of fresh air. Like you did a really great one with The Great Escape, which I had never seen before. I absolutely love the movie. You did a really great job with excuse me, Die Hard, and you're doing a fantastic job with this one. So I know we're just getting started. You're just getting started with When Harry Met Sally, but I'm already looking forward to the next two.
All right. Excellent. Well, next one will hopefully be Die Hard 2. So there you go. We'll
There we go.
but and you also have had the privilege, unlike most people, to actually see the amount of notes pages of notes that I have coming to a show.
Yeah, it's serious. Like it is not like, okay, let me just pull. No. Oh, no. It is
Exactly.
real deal. And that's why I
You know,
can
there.
absolutely appreciate and see all the hard work you put into it.
Thank you very much. It's appreciated. I mean, sometimes, after I finish the week, I always scan in all of my notes. So I have a, an electronic copy of them instead of keeping it all on
Ooh.
paper. And I have some files that are like 60 pages,
Good
with everything,
gracious.
with the script and the dialogue, the script, and then
Yeah.
all my notes and stuff like that. So, yeah. I for Die Hard, I tried putting it into a binder, and I couldn't close the binder at a certain point.
Wow.
I had to start. That's when I started scanning stuff because I was like, okay, that's just not going to work.
Jeez. Oh,
Yeah, but that's fun. So Nick, seriously, thank you very much for joining this week. It's always a pleasure, whether it's online or in person. I love talking to you. You and I don't have as great chemistry as Harry and Sally, but we're close. We're close. We're
sure, I'll
close.
agree with that.
And we haven't spent 18 hours on the road together, but still,
That's true.
But thank you very much. And I will be back on Sunday with a, well, on Monday, sorry. I will be back on Monday with a new guest. So until then, I'll have what she's having.
I'll absolutely have what
Gave
she's
me a
having.
thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.